Namaste.
Oh, this
is a Hindi word and a general greeting throughout South Asia.
Wonderful. I just, you know, this is such a phenomenal article, and the photographs are absolutely spectacular. I don't know where to start.
Well, neither do I, and that's the whole thing about this trip, is where do you begin? I say at the end of the article that if you go to, and by the way, I should say, this is the northwestern province of India. It's called Gujarat, and this is the homeland of Gandhi. It is also the homeland of Lord Krishna, of course, who's the supreme being in Hinduism. But for me, you know, Roy, we learn something new every time we travel, and in a sense our life changes every time we travel, because new stuff goes on our hard drive. You know, we get a new cultural awareness. But and I think you'll understand what I'm saying, that sometimes there's some trips, there's some travel experiences that really make you turn the corner, that really give you a whole new sense of what this human species is, what this planet is all about, and what it all means.
And what is also
a bit like a 60s hippie. And it was a bit like that, as a matter of fact.
And it was interesting that you had, you know, people, other journalists from all over the world, so you could share this experience
and it was an incredible privilege. And I'll just give you some background on that, because Gujarat, it's a very large province. It's on the Arabian Sea, just south of Pakistan, and it's an emerging travel destination within India. India, of course, is very popular for a lot of people, especially a type I call an Indiophile. If you meet someone who's been to India, they become very passionate about it. But
absolutely.
Gujarat is new, in a sense, extremely old. It's the ancient world. Travel destination and an industry that's emerging, it's amazing. And for me, it was the first time to India, and I'm really pleased. For my first trip to India, I didn't do the regular route. I immediately went to a part of India that most people have never visited. And I was there with 24 other travel journalists from all over the world.
I can see
and
that.
This was really special, because all of us were coming, I think most of us except for one, were coming to Gujarat for the first time. And it was the dynamic that happened between the 24 of us. And these are very experienced people.
And there must have been a little anxiety about going to this destination to begin with, I would have thought.
Well, and you know, that is a really important part, because, of course, I read all the travel books, and, they scared the pants off me and said, you're going to get sick, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. wrong. India is now at the top of my list as the most welcoming, friendly, and in most respects, the safest place that I've traveled in a long time. And it was, and that was the revelation. That was the epiphany for me. The article is called The Faces of Gujarat. And the reason for that, Roy, is because, you know, places like India, huge, obviously, 1.3 billion people, and we don't know much about it other than what we've read. And it comes across, I think, in our mental memory as being a faceless nation. And the moment I set foot in the airport, actually it even happened on the airport, on the airplane from London to Bombay, Mumbai, it was the opposite of a faceless nation. Every single human being that I encountered in any way became a unique individual who looked at me and smiled and was extremely welcoming.
And we might take a moment, Bob, just to mention, for those that are listening online, that if you go to our website, you can see these incredible photos and faces that Bob is talking about.
The first moment I realized what the article was going to be, this particular one is very much a personal transition, a personal journey for me. But it happened through the faces of all the people of Gujarat. I suddenly realized everywhere I looked, I was seeing human faces expressing something very important that I had never experienced before. And you know, when we started this bit, I made reference to the Hindi greeting Namaste, and if I may, I just want to talk about that, because it's very much what this whole trip was about. Namaste is, as I said, a Hindi word. It's the general greeting in South Asia. It means both hello and goodbye. And when you make that gesture, you put your hands together in a bowing position, and you slightly bow. And it's often used in yoga, but it's a reverential salutation. And it's both gesture and symbol, and it means I bring together my body and soul, focusing my divine potential, and I bow to the same potential within you. Now, obviously, I'm reading that from my notes here, but that was the reality. Every single person, as I walked along the street, and I was by myself a fair amount of the time, as a Westerner, and people would namaste me, and you know, I turned that into a verb, but the whole experience was one of namaste, an expression of goodwill, and I think that's what it was about, the faces. And in the article I start with an anecdote of what was almost an apparition throughout Gujarat, and this is why it's an emerging travel destination, and I think this is why it's going to be one of the next really incredible places to travel. This is an area of where the first human civilizations began, the Indus civilization from the Indus Valley, after which, of course, the name India comes. And throughout this whole area, there are amazing monuments. There are amazing old palaces and all kinds of archaeological sites. Throughout the area, there are what are called step wells, and you have to. The pictures are on the site, and you have to see them to really understand. But this is a very dry, arid area, of course, and water is critical to life. And way back when, you know, 5000 BC, whatever, what they did, they dug these huge wells, but they built large, almost temple-like structures around them that descended by stairways in down to the below to the water level. Very much a symbolic and very much a gesture as well. And they became the general gathering places, too, because Gujarat was very much on the caravan route. The whole coast of Gujarat on the Arab Sea is quite extensive, and therefore the trade routes to the east, the silks, the spices, all that stuff that we've always read about and seen in the Hollywood movies, etc., when you made that trek through the ancient civilizations of the Indus Valley, you traveled at night, for one thing, to escape the penetrating sun, and you stopped along the way at these step wells, and they became almost a spiritual experience. And
one photo you have is the... Yep. The Adalaj step well, which apparently is one of the better known ones, I assume.
Sublime.
Yeah.
And that key photograph, I don't know whether you can see it, if you've got it in front of you.
I do indeed.
The woman. I went down to the bottom of the well, if you like, and I was on my way back up when, this may sound silly, but it was like an apparition. This husband and wife and their small child were coming down the stairs, and it was an incredibly beautiful scene. I mean, she, as you can see from the picture there, she's incredibly beautiful. She may be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And dressed in, if you look at the sari, the colors of that sari are just amazing. And she was moving as if there was no gravity. She was moving as if she were, what do I say here, as if she were being borne on a whisper of moist air. And her husband was coming behind her, and he was this tall, very elegant looking man, very loose limbed, and he was kind of flowing down the stairs too. And then their little boy, who was the second photograph in the article, just delightful. And if you look at his body language, innocence personified, simplicity personified, and the three of them, and they kind of, they namaste'd me a little bit as they passed by. Well, you know, I couldn't continue up the stairs. I turned around and started to follow them, you know, like a stupid tourist. And I approached them at a spot where they stopped on a landing where the sun was filtering down through the incredibly carved, intricate structure. It was just a photo op that I just couldn't miss, but it was more than a photo op. I really had to capture this moment. And you know what it's like, Roy, in those situations. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to, objectify them. But you want that moment. You want to take that moment home with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, as best I could, you know, I gestured with my camera because they weren't English speaking. I only spoke Hindi, I think. And to my surprise, as happened everywhere in Gujarat, absolutely everywhere, it was, of course, please, not only be my guest, but thank you very much for doing us this honor. And so I started to take the picture of her, and, you know, this is not Western civilization, and she was quite shy, and I always kept her eyes downcast and very demure, and I kind of focused my camera on her and thought, yeah, that's gorgeous, but there's something not quite right. And almost as if I were asking for help, I looked up and I glanced at the husband. He had this big beaming smile on his face, and he knew what I was looking for. So he just casually put his arm around his wife's shoulder, and you can see his hand on her shoulder there. And at that moment, she looked up at me, and look at the eyes.
Yes, I can see that. Amazing.
I know. And she looked at me, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, this radiance. She came to represent, and her son, too, that beautiful,
right.
Beautiful child with his body in full motion. But they came to represent, as all the other faces you see in this article, all these other people, they really came to represent what for me has been probably the best travel experience of my life, and probably the most profound experience of my life too. As I said, it was a kind of epiphany. It was the most welcoming place I have ever been to.
Now, you also mentioned you get into, of course, the food and the diet.
Well, the food is, you know, a challenge for most of us who come from the West, and we have to remember that we are ethnocentric.
Right.
But the food is wonderful. And there's a very special dish in Gujarat called a thali, T-H-A-L-I.
Uh-huh.
And it's a vast array of foods of all kinds, primarily vegetarian, of course.
Right.
And there's a photograph there of this. It's a small thali, and it's this tray of all these exotic foods and vegetables and sauces and yogurt. They do this thing, Roy, with
and the chutneys
dessert.
And, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of this stuff, of course, from the British Raj time, the chutneys, for example, where did we, you know, and the...
It was very British, yeah.
Yeah, very British. But the food itself is a symbol for the diversity. This is a very multi-ethnic area, and the history is, you know... Well, we're talking in Gujarat, we're talking the beginning of human civilization, layer upon layer upon layer of civilization and art and language, of course, you know, Sanskrit. And so going to Gujarat, and that's why I said I was really glad. I haven't been to Delhi yet. I've been to Bombay now, and I can tell you a bit about that. I haven't been to the big places, the Taj Mahal, but I've been to Gujarat. And
one of the interesting points that I think you make is you say, I learned quickly to adjust my sense of time.
Right. And it's a real problem, I think, when we come from a Western society where, you know, everything is run by the clock and everything is so rushed and we have such busy, noisy minds. I'm not knocking it. I mean, I like my life here.
Exactly. We should all readjust our time.
Yeah. But you do enter... I don't really want to call it culture shock, because it wasn't a shock. It wasn't a... it wasn't a traumatic experience in any way whatsoever. It was quite the opposite. But you do enter a different mindset. You do a totally different cultural mindset as well. And now, I have to tell you that the reason that the 24 of us were invited there was because the Navaratri festival was on. Now, this is... Roy, you'd have your dancing shoes on and you would be just... You would be in your element, because I know how you like to dance. And this is the largest dance festival in the world. The Navaratri festival is also one of the key festivals in Hinduism, and it is a celebration of the mother goddess, the earth goddess. And this is as old as human civilization as well. And in every major religion, you know, there is this concept, this universal theme of Mother Earth, as it is, for example, in Aboriginal cultures in North America. And Navaratri, the word literally means nine nights. And for nine full nights, it's non-stop, party isn't quite the word, non-stop festivities. And, you know, so hard to tell you about how the color and the sounds and the rhythms and the intensity of the feelings and the fun. We were taken to the inaugural event, which took place in the commercial capital, Ahmedabad. I think they told me there were over 30,000 people there. I don't know. Doesn't matter. All I know is, as far as I could see, there were Gujaratis and people from other from other countries in the area. The dancing it was just amazing, nothing I'd ever seen. Rhythmic, and it was the kind of dancing that, in the center of the whole festivity, of course, is Mother Earth and the Mother Goddess. And the dancing would revolve around her, and the music would revolve around her, and it would start slowly and rhythmically, and it would go on for a long time, but it would develop in intensity until, almost drug-like, quite frankly, it reached a point where there was just this total sense of unity with all the surroundings.
And by the photos, it looks like everybody was having a good time.
Yeah, a good time. We're at this mass. I can't tell you how big of a mass festival this was. And here I'm wandering around. You know, and I'm probably the only white face in the area I'm with my photographs, and like I'm going anywhere taking pictures of anything. And some of those photographs, I go into the little tents where they're preparing to do their dance and whatever, Once again, welcome, namaste, take our pictures. Yes, please, thank you for coming. Where are you from? And you know the expression, 6 degrees of separation? Great, great story. One of the next nights, we're at a small Navaratri festival in a marketplace on a street at midnight. And they invite us, they call us up onto the stage. So all these lumbering Western journalists go up on the stage and we start to dance with them. And I wasn't too bad, Roy. And they have this dance called Dandiya where they have sticks. And you, with a partner, you beat sticks together. Anyway, we were getting really good at this and very tiring. I come down off the stage. This lovely woman, Indian woman, comes over and sits down beside me and says, you know, I just wanted to talk to you. I thought, and she's from Calgary, Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, she lives part-time in Gujarat. Her husband is a retired police officer from Calgary. And I kept running into her every now and then. And she was probably the best diplomat, the best ambassadress that I've ever met. But she sat beside me for quite a while, and she explained a lot of little details, and she just took me further and further and further into the layers of understanding of the Navaratri festival. Anyway, do I sound a little enthusiastic about this?
Now, they had come there specifically to attend that festival?
To attend the festival, to be with family, because it is all about the human family.
Right.
And I know that's sounding kind of 60-ish and that sort of thing, but it is about the human family, and that's exactly how they treated us, and that's exactly, and everywhere. You know, Roy, I was, when I arrived, I was on my own, and I stayed in Mumbai, known to a lot of people as Bombay, and I was staying near the airport in a wonderful 5-star eco hotel, which I'll tell you more some other time. And right outside, right near the hotel, there's some of the worst slums, whatever that word means, some of the worst slums in Bombay, and I went for a walk, and I went for a stroll through these slums. No problem. Very interesting. People would talk. You know, English speaking, talk. They would talk to me. Where are you from? Whatever. You know, this is my kid, et cetera, et cetera. Take a picture, you know.
And, of course, the marvelous thing is they speak English, which made it a lot easier than trying to have an interpreter with you all the time.
Exactly. And, of course, you know, English, well, you know, they say that the British left two things in India, the railroads and an educational system. Oh, a third thing, too, of course, is bureaucracy, which, you know, they're quite good at as well.
Now you can,
and I
you
have to tell you, may I?
Sure.
Because Gujarat is the homeland of Gandhi.
I was just going to say that you actually got to visit the ashram.
Gandhi's ashram, where he lived for 13 years, right near, it's actually part of the city of Ahmedabad. So, in the tourism department of Gujarat, they use the terms divine, pristine, and serene. Well, there's no better way to explain it. And this was where Gandhi changed the world. This is where, when he came back from Africa and South Africa, and you may remember, he was a businessman, a lawyer, and he made a decision that he had to go home and he had to do what he had to do. He came back to Gujarat. He took off his businessman's suit. He sat down. He wove his own cotton. He made his own loincloth. Mm-hmm. And then he said, okay, let's do it. Let's go. He didn't use those words, of course. And you get this, and we were so fortunate. This has been such a privilege. We were at his ashram on his birthday. And here were these wonderful families. The photographs are there. You can see them just wandering around, and kids coming up and talking to me, young people especially, you know, where are you from, and what's it like where you live, and telling me about their life. But there was a sense of, there was a total sense of
spirit, I would guess, of the feeling.
The spirit of Gandhi.
And you say there. it was from there that Gandhi set off with his followers on his famous 240-mile assault march to the sea.
Right. And of course, that's what, you know, yesterday Coretta King died, you know, and Martin Luther King and Buddha and Jesus and Gandhi and all these charismatic figures who had the same message. And the same message was basically, come on, guys, be nice, you know, and if we do it together, there will be no threat. I mean, I may be sounding a bit silly, but it's the simplest principles. And when we were at Gandhi's ashram, and I sat down cross-legged and talked to an older gentleman there who was a teacher, and he simply told me the story of this ashram and of Gandhi. And he showed me some of the artifacts of Gandhi and his wife and the kids. And...
Well, you have a photograph there, isn't it?
That's right. And the total sense of peace and tranquility and coming together. And it's what this amazing Eastern culture is really all about. Serene, pristine, and divine. And if I may, I'm just quoting from my article here. We visit Gandhi's ashram beside the Sabarmati River on his birthday and find ourselves in the midst of a quiet family celebration, but it is a family celebration in a true Gandhi sense. As one writer has described life in the ashram, it was, and here's the quote, a haven from the dust and din of the world. It was a family linked not by blood or property, but by allegiance to common ideals. And that's what Gujarat was all about.
Beautiful. Beautiful article, Bob. I mean, there was so much more, you know, the Sun Temple, and one could go on and on and on. I thoroughly encourage everyone who is listening to this to go to our website and Destination Worldview, click on Bob Fisher's article, and look at these incredible photographs and this marvelous article. Bob, it's just absolutely beautiful.
Hey, where am I going to see you tomorrow?
Well, we're off to... That's right. We're on the road tomorrow. We're heading up with a part of our team. We're going up to Quebec City, and we're going to join in on their winter carnival, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yep, and then we're going to do an hour-long special on March 15th on Le Carnaval de Québec.
So that's right.
Anyway, so, this was great, Roy. You got to go. I got to go. We got to get packed. And don't forget really warm socks.
Yeah, I've kind of begged, borrowed, and stolen, and a few Christmas gifts, and I think I'm going to take your advice, and I'm going to carry my snow boots on board, because
good idea.
If anything should happen, I'd be in serious trouble.
Right. Okay.
Bob, we can't thank you enough for this, and once again, I encourage those to please have a look at the photos and go to the article. And as you say, I've got to run, so
okay.
I'll talk to you soon. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Namaste.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Bob Fisher, great article. And it goes on and on and on. So we could have devoted the whole hour of this show to this particular article. And, in fact, we extended the show a bit just so we could get more into it. And you're listening to Talking Travel Live on the Travel Talk Radio Network and worldwide at ttrn.com. You can check our upcoming program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. Next week, my guest will be Evan Eggers with the latest cruise updates. John Brent, author of Midnight in the Garden of Evil, will discuss his latest bestseller, City of Falling Angels, which is about Venice. And travel journalist Suzanne Wright and Johnny Jett will be back with us. So we're off to Quebec tomorrow, as I said, to attend the Winter Carnival and to do a one-hour show, which will, as Bob said, air March 15th, so mark your calendar because you won't want to miss the fun. So this is Roy Lowy saying goodbye for now, and we look forward to talking with you all very soon. So all I can say is happy travels for now.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.